As Mike said a few minutes ago in the video, we're starting our new sermon series, Overcoming the Summertime Blues. We all know what that's like. You got the summer's dragging on. It's 105 degrees. You're like, oh, I'm sick of it being 105 degrees. And it's, you know, just keeps going. They still have a couple of months. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, when I see the Spirit Store open up or start to set up on 5th of July, I get a little bitter. I get a little upset. I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? It's July 5th. I just saw fireworks yesterday. Now you're setting up for Halloween. But then on the other hand, when it opens, not that I'm a huge Halloween guy, but when it opens, at least it gives me that hope that like Halloween is coming, which means cooler temperatures are coming. So it's like a light at the end of the tunnel. So, okay, I am happy the Spirit Store's opening because it means it's coming soon. But we're in the thick of it. School just started. We're celebrating with our family event today. And so we're right in the thick of the summer here, getting ready for, you know, fall football season, you know, college football, NFL, all the fall things starting up here. And we just want to look at what God's doing in our lives. So today we're going to talk about something that none of us can relate to in any way. Just like last week, we're going to talk about resentment and bitterness, because again, none of us can relate to that in any way. But maybe you have a friend who can. So, you know, you're going to listen today so you can share this information with them. So today we're going to hear about resentment. So did you know that 69% of adults report experiencing lingering resentment? 69% of folks report experiencing lingering resentment in their lives. That's a lot. That's more than half. 70% acknowledge that holding on to a grudge is harmful for their health. Maybe you've gone to a doctor and a doctor said, you know, you've got this, you got indigestion or acid reflux or this or that or whatever, you know, and they said, you know, and you're like, well, what's wrong? And they're like, you know, it's stress related. And you're like, you know, well, maybe it's stress related. Maybe it's resentment related, or stress that comes from resentment or bitterness or holding on to something. 62% of American adults say they need more forgiveness in their lives. Resentment is pain. Here's what I like to say about resentment. Resentment is pain that we've ignored and put into a crock pot and left to simmer for years, right? That's what resentment is. It's not anger. Anger is right here in the moment. I'm mad. I'm going to take it out on you because I'm angry with you right now. But what is resentment? I take that anger I've got, I don't deal with it, and I stick it in a crock pot, put the lid on, and set it to simmer for years. Because what's the old saying that they have? Revenge is a dish best served what? Cold. We don't serve revenge hot, because revenge served hot would be anger. But when it turns into bitterness and resentment, that's when we let it go for years. We leave it unchecked and don't deal with it for years. That's what the storyline of how many movies is about. That it's all about, you know, getting revenge, getting back with people who've hurt you in the past. Have you ever noticed that bitter words burn like horseradish on your breath? You know, people don't want to be around you. They kind of like, you know, it burns like horseradish on your breath when you speak bitter words. It's interesting. As I was getting ready to preach this sermon today, yesterday I got a text message totally out of the blue. I got this weird text message from someone who I used to work with several years ago. Only worked with this person for three months as the company I work for was just getting started. And this person sent me this text message, and haven't heard from her in 4 years. And she sends me this message, and it was this story of a pastor preaching and kind of like, you know, lambasts his congregation for not being loving and not being, you know, like Jesus and stuff like that. And I didn't really know what the purpose of the text was. You know, people send pastors that kind of stuff all the time. And I was like, hey, thanks for sending that. Like, I'm just be nice, at least let you know I got it and not ignore you. So I was like, hey, thanks for sending that. And this person sent me a response saying, I think you know why I sent that to you. It's because you are that person. I was like, what? And she said, I think you know what you did to me. What? Well, I responded, I said, hey, I'm sorry. Honestly, have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what happened, and I don't know what you're telling me. And she sent me a response saying that because she was let go, she thought that I had gossiped about her behind her back to our CEO and our bosses, and I was the reason she was let go, which was not the case because I had no idea she was being let go when the time came. But she's been holding on to this resentment for 4 years, and it came up yesterday in which she texted me these vitriolic things because of her anger. And so it really, really hit me. I was like, wow, and I said, hey, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I wish you could have told me that 4 years ago so I could have told you the truth and we could have worked it out. But she's apparently been holding on to this, again, in the crock pot simmering for the last 4 years. So why do we have resentment? What are the reasons we have it? Well, like she thought for me, what people say about us. You know, she thought I was gossiping about her behind her back. So, you know, maybe you've had that experience where someone's gossiped about you behind your back, or someone said something to your face. They've been a jerk to your face or said something. You know, let's go ahead and read James 3, verse 5 together here. What does it say? The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Isn't that true? Words can cut deep. We've all been hurt by someone's words, both something said to us, you know, in anger or rage or insulting, or something said behind our back. Again, that's what this person thought I was doing to her. Maybe you've had someone, friends or family members who've had relationships ruined because of Facebook. Maybe someone said something on Facebook, they posted about something, and then another family member unfriended them because they had the gall to say this on or not say this or whatever. You know, my wife and I, we've often noticed that Facebook seems to break families apart. You know, we used to say, you know, Facebook ruining families since 2004, you know, because we've seen that. We've seen that in our own families, where people hold grudges and resentment towards other people because of things they did or didn't do or say on Facebook. The second thing we see is not only is it what people say about us, but what people think about us. Some people, you know, maybe in this room, some people bend over backwards to help others. We'll do anything we can to be helpful, and we find our value in helping others. But the problem is if, you know, you don't feel appreciated for the help that you've given and the time that you've sacrificed, you can become bitter. Some people find their values when their kids need them. You know, when you have a little kid, it's so great because you got this little kid who needs you everything, but then the kid grows up and doesn't need you so much anymore, and they move out of the house and they get married, and we've all seen those movies where mom or dad, you know, despises the spouse because, hey, she'll never take care of you as well as I could, or he'll never take care of you the way I could, and you know, you despise the spouse because your child doesn't need you anymore. You know, some people tried to live up to the expectations of others. Maybe you've tried to live up to someone's expectations in your life, a boss, a parent, a friend, and you felt like you never measured up. If you've ever had those thoughts of, if only you knew how much I've sacrificed for you, ... Maybe you've had that thought, you know, maybe when someone says something or doesn't say something or doesn't do what you want, you're like, if only you knew how much I've done for this family. If only you knew how much I did for this company. If only you knew ... Those are the seeds of bitterness being planted and ready to sprout. But the Apostle Paul warns us about the danger of trying to find our value in what other sinners think about us. In Galatians 1, verse 10, it says this: am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Who are we trying to please? Are we trying to please each other, or are we trying to please God? The third thing we see is what people do to us. So it's what people say, what people think, and what people do to us are three of the big things that cause us to be bitter. Have you ever been mistreated by the kids at school, maybe a boss or an ex? If so, first of all, I want to say I'm sorry. That's terrible, and that's inappropriate. But I can also say that Jesus can relate. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says prophesying about Jesus says this: he was despised and rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering, and he was familiar with pain. And today we're going to look at ways that we can deal with our resentment, deal with our bitterness. And we're going to look to Jesus on the cross as how he did it while he was dying on the cross. So the first thing we see is that Jesus went through all three of these. He dealt with what people said about him. He dealt with what people thought about him. And he dealt with what people did to him. You know, what did they say about him? They called him a demon. They called him the son of Beelzebub. They called him a heretic. They called him a blasphemer. What did they think about him? Well, they thought that he was, you know, supposed to be the Messiah, but well, he didn't live up to their expectations of what the Messiah should look like. So he obviously was a fraud. He obviously was a failure. They said that at the foot of the cross, said, well, if God really loves him, God would rescue him. And so they disbelieved in Jesus. And then finally, what did people do to him? Well, they hung him on a cross. They whipped him. They flogged him. They killed him. So what do we see from Jesus on the cross? The first thing we see is we have to reveal our hurt. Matthew 27, verse 24, Jesus cries out. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know that Jesus cries out to God because God wants us to talk to him about our pain. You know, I've talked to people who think that maybe they're not allowed to pray about when they're struggling. They're not allowed to talk about their own struggles. You know, there's a myth out there in prayer that, you know, you can only pray for other people. You can pray for other people to be blessed and other people to get healed and world peace and things like that. But if I pray for myself, it's somehow selfish. And that's not true. I always tell people that if we can't tell God what we're struggling with, you know, God's got big shoulders. He can handle it. If we can't tell God that we're mad at him or what we're struggling with, then we'd have to take out most of the book of Psalms because it's filled with times when the psalmist is complaining to God about his suffering and his pain. In fact, there's actually a whole book in the Bible. Did you know it? It's called the Book of Complaints. Did you know that there's a book called the Book of Complaints? It's not called Complaints. It actually has a different name. It's called the Book of Lamentations. That's what it is. The Book of Lamentations is a book of complaints. It's the people of God saying, God, why are we suffering? What's going on? What's happening here? What's this? What's that? There's a really cool video for Grief Share. If any of you have lost a loved one recently and you know you want to join a support group that can provide support for you. There's this ministry we have called Grief Share. We have our signups in our catalog and you can check out the table. But in Grief Share, there's a video that I watched recently. And in the video, it said the lady was talking about people when we're angry with God. And she said, you know, there's a difference between talking about God to other people and talking to God. A lot of times when we're angry, we talk about God just like we talk about people. You know, oh, God failed me. God didn't do this. God didn't do that. He didn't allow this. He didn't allow that. I get it. You know, we vent. We're venting to people about our frustrations. But she said a lament is when we talk to God. Lamenting is saying, God, I'm struggling to believe you. I'm struggling to understand what you're doing in this world. I'm struggling with my pain and my suffering, and I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I really need your help to get me through it because I'm really having a hard time understanding you here, and I'm having a hard time hanging on because I feel like you're abandoning me. And so she talks about the difference between complaining to other people about God and talking to God. So we see from Jesus, he tells us and shows us that we need to go talk to God. Job 7, verse 11 says this. Job, going through his trial that he faced, he says, I will not keep silent. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job tells us there's nothing wrong with complaining to God. It's absolutely okay. We don't have to tiptoe around it and pretend like God's going to strike us with lightning if we complain to him about when things aren't going well. It's okay. We can talk to him. So last week when you were here, I talked about our prayer journals. I gave you some practical things. And I'm going to give you some more practical things. If you're holding on to bitterness or resentment towards someone today, I want to encourage you to write it down. If every day you've got this loop or these thoughts about this person or this situation or how this person, you know, messed everything up in your life or they screwed everything up in your life or they mistreated you or they abused you, again, if you walk away from this sermon hearing me say that like someone abusing you or hurting you is okay, you're not listening to the sermon. But what I want you to do is if you have that thought, maybe it was a boss, an ex, or whatever, fill in the blank, if you've got this resentment that you're carrying, As it comes into your mind, I want you to write it down. Write it in the note app of your phone. Write it in your prayer journal. Write it on your sermon notes. Write it down. As many as you have, as much as you get it, write it out. Get it out of your head and get it onto paper. And then talk to God about it in prayer every day as long as you're feeling it. That leads us to the second point, which is we have to release the offender. We have to release the offender. Luke 23, 34, Jesus said, again, from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I don't know about you. I've had people hurt me. I've had people say things and do things and do things that are really cruel and mean and harmful to me over the years. But I've never had them do it to me while I have nails in my wrists. Never had that happen, you know. I've had to forgive people, but I've never had to forgive people while I have nails and excruciating pain going through my wrist. I've never had to forgive a person who has put nails in my wrists and in my feet and stabbed me in the side with a spear. So, you know, when I look at Jesus, I'm like, that is a pretty high bar to meet. Resentment never punishes the offender. It only poisons us. So back to that lady who texted me yesterday. For 4 years, she's apparently been holding on to something. And you know how much it's hurt me over the last 4 years? Not at all. She hasn't punished me at all over the last 4 years. But apparently she's been hurting for it. She's been wounded. She's been getting poisoned by it. And again, like I said, I wish she could have shared it with me 4 years ago so we could have solved it, gotten it out in the open and taken care of it and gotten healing. That's why Jesus forgave those who hurt him. How much of our resentment comes because we don't listen to what someone else is saying or we have a short fuse? You know, Becky and I always talk about, I won't ask you guys to raise your hand, but we always talk about how, you know, maybe you've gotten upset on the freeway or on the streets, you know, and you say some things you probably shouldn't say, or you know, do some other things you shouldn't do or whatever. You know, someone cuts you off or they sit too long at a stoplight or whatever, and you're like, ah, come on, what are you doing, boo? The light's green, go. What are you waiting for the light? Pole to turn green, come on, you know, something like that, you know, and spin around them, honk your horn, flash your light. You know, drive around them real quick to let them know how angry you are at them. You know, I know Becky and I, we had times where we'll be looking over our shoulder in our blind spot. We don't see that person and we start going and then they start honking and speed past us and, you know, give us gestures. And we're like, dude, I didn't see you. Like, I wasn't trying to hit you. Like, trust me, I don't want my insurance to go up because I hit you. You know, I don't want to spend the money on repairing your car. But, you know, we take things so personally. When someone hurts us, when someone does something, it's so easy. And I'm this way too. The guy up at the stage is talking from experience. It's so easy to take things personally and to think that when someone does something, they're trying to offend me. But what does it say in James 1 verse 19? It says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I think we need that Bible verse. I should print that Bible verse up and put it on Velcro for all of us to put in our cars, right? Or maybe not all of us, at least just me. I need to put it on my dashboard of my car, you know? Because how much of our lives do we get angry when we haven't really thought through or really processed what the other person might be thinking? You know, it's interesting. What does Jesus say? He says, Father, forgive them for what? For they don't know what they are doing. There are people in our world that I visit as a pastor and as a chaplain who are holding on to wounds for 20 to 30 years. Again, this person texted me after 4 years. I didn't know that I'd hurt her. I didn't know that I'd done anything to her. But she assumed that I did something to maliciously hurt her. There's people I visit who are holding on to wounds from 20 to 30 years ago, and they can't let go. And no matter how nicely decorated their house is, they live in North Scottsdale and got beautiful homes. And, you know, I go in there, and when I go visit them, it reeks of death and bitterness. Because there's something they can't let go of, something that happened to them. Maybe it was their father, and they have a father wound because he mistreated them when they were young. Maybe it was a boss who you know, stabbed them in the back, or a business partner who stabbed them in the back. Maybe it was a spouse or a loved one who left them and betrayed them. And the problem is that person, or maybe it's a spouse they currently have, and they're just bitter towards them in the house, and they bring it up every chance they get constantly, over and over and over, and they never stop. And eventually, you know, I don't know if you've experienced this, but eventually if you're around someone who's like that, what happens? Eventually bitterness and resentment makes you look like this guy. Have you ever seen that guy? If we become bitter and resentful and we just keep harping on what's wrong and what this person did to us and how they've hurt us and how I'm a victim and all those things, eventually I start to turn inward on myself and I start to look haggard and ugly and disgusting and people don't want to be around me. It makes us miserable and no one wants to be around us. But in order to find healing, we have to let go and give grace. Here's what Ephesians 4, verse 31 says. Let's all read this together. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, there's a myth that forgiveness is saying the other person's right or what they did was okay or that the abuse that they showed me is fine, you know, but that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't saying they're right, what happened was okay, or excusing them for what they did. It's saying, God, I'm going to trust you to bring justice. I'm going to take the mantle of being the judge, the jury, and the executioner off of my shoulders and give my pain to you, and I'm choosing not to hold it against them anymore. It's, you know, saying, I trust that whatever systems you have in place in this world, you are going to bring justice. And if you don't bring justice to what happened to me in this world, maybe through legal or financial or whatever systems happen, I trust that you're going to bring justice to me in the world to come, whatever that looks like. But Lord, it's not my job to do that. It's your job. And I'm trusting you and I'm letting go of that pain. And why is it we let go of that pain? Why is it we give it to God? What does the Bible verse say? Well, you know, how many of you have heard a non-Christian say, I hate Christians because they're so hypocritical and so judgmental, right? You know, oh, Christians are so hit. They condemn other people, but they don't, you know. Jesus talks about that. We see the plank in someone else or the speck in someone else's eye, but ignore the plank in our eye. Well, what does this verse say? It says, I have to be careful when I judge and I can't hold on to bitterness. Why? Because God forgave me as well. God forgave me because of Jesus. And because God forgave me, he calls me to forgive others in the same way that I've received his forgiveness. Again, not saying it's right, not saying what I did was right or the things that I've done are okay, but forgiveness says God's gonna judge me and God's gonna judge them, and I let go of that pain because I trust that God's gonna take care of me and he's gonna take care of them. Leviticus 19, verse 17 says this, do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront people directly so you will not be held guilty for their sin. I love this verse because when I hear it, I think of that word, nurse, nursing a child. It makes me think of a mom nursing her child. And what happens when you nurse a child? It takes time. It takes love. It takes concern. You're focusing on that child. You're not doing 50 other things. You're doing one thing and you're focusing. And nursing takes a while, doesn't it? You know, children are being nursed for, you know, several months, weeks, you know, maybe even a year or two while they're being nursed and cared for. And what's the purpose of nursing? So the child can grow up and get bigger and get stronger and get healthier. And some of us like to do that with our bitterness, don't we? Some of us like to nurse our bitterness. We like to nurse our victimhood. We like to nurse our resentment in the same way. We hold on to it. We nurture it. We let it grow, and we like to feed it so that it grows stronger and bigger in our lives. I find it interesting that, as I said, one of the first things I said was, you know, what causes us to be bitter and resentful when someone gossips about us? But what is our response when someone gossips about us? To gossip about them, to tell everyone we know about them. It's interesting, we get mad about this when they do it, but when I do it, it's called venting. When I do it, it's okay. When I do it, it's fine. That shouldn't be, brothers and sisters. You know, Leviticus says if it's important enough for us to talk about them, it's important enough to talk to them about it. And again, a practical way I want to encourage you guys to do this as you let go of these things that are holding us back is, you know, spend time in prayer. Either praying to forgive them and then praying for the opportunity to talk to them if it's appropriate, or asking God just to give you the strength to forgive them. I had this situation where I first learned how to do this when I was when I moved here on an internship, and I had a fiance who I was dating, and we were planning a wedding, and she ended up cheating on me, and she broke my heart and betrayed me, you know, I ended up going to a pastor and talking to him about this betrayal that I'd gone through and the wounds that I was having. And he told me about what I'm telling you today. He said, write it down every day, every morning, write down the things that are hurting you every day, write down all those things. And then he said, I want you to pray for her. I want you to pray for her, because he said, you know better than anyone else what she's struggling with, what her weaknesses are, what her wounds are, what her pain points are. He said, I want you to pray for her every day. Even if your prayer is, Lord, I just need to forgive her, but I don't feel like it. Like, Lord, help me forgive her. You know, hey, that's okay. God will take you where you start. And that's where I started. It was, Lord, I'm really not happy about her. I'm really unhappy about this, but I'm praying because the pastor told me to. Okay. Lord, help me to soften my heart. Lord, I want you to soften my heart. Lord, give me the strength to forgive her. And over time, what this pastor said is, when you get to the point where you're able to pray for her, that God will bless her in her next relationship, he says, that's when you know that God's really working on your heart in forgiveness. What does that look like for you, for that ex or that boss or that parent or that whatever? You write it down. You pray about it. You talk to God and you say, Lord, I need help to forgive this person. I need help to let go of what happened to me. I need help to let go of what's going on. And you pray for it. As long as it's holding on to you, you've got to let go of it and give it to God in prayer. The last thing we're going to see here today is we have to refocus our heart. Jesus' seven last words that were spoken from the cross are all from the book of Psalms. Actually, people think that Jesus, while he was hanging on the cross, just quoted this, was just reciting the Psalms from Psalm 1 all the way to Psalm 150, because he had nothing else to do for those 8 hours. And when we're suffering, what do? A lot of us go to the Bible. When I visit people in the hospital, what do? I bring them communion, a prayer, and I read the Bible, because the Bible comforts us when we're suffering. And so Jesus is speaking the Psalms, and that's what those seven last words are. And what we see is, when Jesus was suffering, he went to God's word. When you're suffering, do you go to God's word? I want to encourage you, when you suffer, go to God's word. Don't go to other people to vent and get your frustrations out with other people. I mean, you can. I'm not saying you can't, but go to God's word as well. Have you ever seen pictures of what happens to an old abandoned amusement park when it's been closed for years? You know, it's run down, it's fallen apart, it's, you know, got weeds and, you know, fallen apart. Well, that's what our hearts are like when we're carrying bitterness and resentment. And so what we need to do is, when we start doing those other things, we start letting it go, writing it down, giving it to God. What we have to do is, we have to start filling that old abandoned amusement park. We have to start rebuilding it. We have to start filling it with goodness and start rebuilding and filling that empty space with God's love, so it can be usable again. And so here's what we hear in Philippians 4, verse 8. It says this: finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's anything excellent or anything worthy of praise, what should we do? Think about these things. I spend so much time on that other side of the amusement park, where I'm thinking about all the junk, the bitterness, the resentment, the anger, what they did to me. I turn into Gollum because I'm so self-focused and victimizing. But he says, if I want to be on that other side, the amusement park where people are enjoying themselves and laughing and having a good time, what I need to do is, I need to think about these things that Scripture gives me. And it's hard. It's hard. When you're suffering, when you're hurting, it's hard. But a practical way that I like to do this is, I encourage you guys, if you haven't done it before, Google identity verses in the Bible. Look up identity verses in the Bible and print them up, write them out. One of the things I did during COVID was I would take my prayer journal, I just write down the same verses over and over and over, you know, that would apply to me because I was struggling emotionally and going through difficult times. And I just write them kind of like a kid who throws a dirt clod at a little kid on a playground. And the teacher's like, go to the whiteboard and write, I will not throw a dirt clod at Susie, you know, 500 times, you know, that old school teaching technique. That's what I did. I just went and wrote in my journal these Bible verses over and over and over and over till page after page was covered in Bible verses. And I needed to do that because I needed to fill that space that had all the junk that was there with God's word so that I could be filled with all these things. I could be thinking about these things rather than be thinking about the junk in my life. You see, resentment, letting go of resentment isn't a one-time thing. It's not like, okay, I let go, I'm good, yeah, amen, hey, let's wash my hands, I can check that box in my life. No, it's a daily surrender. You may not feel like it. You may be praying, Lord, I don't want to forget that person. You may be there, but forgiveness isn't a feeling, it's a choice. And it's a choice that leads to freedom. So today, let's let the cross remind us that we were forgiven first. Let's let the empty tomb remind us that we can be free from the shackles of bitterness and resentment in our lives. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we've carried burdens that we were never meant to carry. We've carried the burdens of resentment and bitterness and anger. And so, Lord, today I pray that we can lay them down at your feet. I pray that you'd help us and teach us to forgive just like you've forgiven us. Lord, today I pray that you would heal our wounds and that you'd help us walk in the freedom of your love. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.